Good evening again. Someone asked me, did I do my homework? I said, yes, I did. Well, we will be in chapter 4 tonight of the book of Lamentations. As it has been repeatedly said in the past by others, that a book that is not normally considered by either teaching or preaching, very seldom we hear about messages or teaching from this book. Now, chapter 4 actually brings, or can be divided into two sections in my study and understanding. The first 1 to 20 can be considered as one section, and 21, 22 can be a second section of the thoughts of Jeremiah, the prophet here. So in that approach, we will look at the whole chapter. Since this is not a book that is not commonly read, except from chapter 3, where we sing very often of God's faithfulness. The first 19 verses, or up to 20 verses, these are the main points that I found myself and from other sources, that as we read through the first 20 verses, I'm going to give you those highlights of those verses first. So when we read through it, you can think of what these verses are teaching us. The first one we see as we begin reading verse 1 on is the temple of God is destroyed. She's walking us through the destruction and the difficulties that the people of Israel, especially Judah in particular, is going through at that point of time. Jeremiah describing the very the former glory of Israel and the temple, and the very painful condition of Israel, Jerusalem at that time. And then temple is destroyed as we read through it. Mothers deserting their young ones in verse 3 and 4. People dying of hunger. Now, remember, this is the Judah, the people of God, the chosen one, and the prophet is saying the people are dying of hunger. God's judgment is prolonged more than they anticipated it will happen. Princes are unrecognized in the streets. They may walk around through the streets of Jerusalem, but they are not recognized by the people as it used to do in the past. And the worst situation is, we don't read much about the next passage in verse 10. Cannibalism is being practiced because of the severity of the lack of food. It is almost unimaginable this is happening in Judah. I don't know, even today on 20th and 21st century, this may not be happening. Maybe it is that we may not hear. But this is what happened at the time as we read through verse 10. The city of Jerusalem was considered to be one of the most strongest and protected by people as well as God. Such a strong city has fallen. So there are, as you read through this passage, these are some thoughts I want you to consider in your mind. Let's read verse 1 through 20. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots. the work of the hands of the porter. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel like ostriches in the wilderness. Can you think through the severity of problems that is happening there? The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The little ones are abandoned by mothers. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. These are things that are probably you and I in 21st century very hard to even grasp. This is happening. Verse 5, those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what happened to them. Most of us consider the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah was the most severe punishment God gave them, the people of Israel. But here, at that time. But here it says, greater than the punishment of sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. You have perhaps seen pictures of hungry people who lost their physical body. Almost all flesh is gone, just the skin and bone. And there are people like this even today in some parts of the world. This was the condition of people at that time. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. That is very hard to take in. But it is true, because that is what the Lord said, recorded here. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Nobody ever thought that people could enter the city of Jerusalem. It was a stronghold in every sense, protected by God himself, but the adversary never thought they could enter in. Verse 13, because of the sins of her prophets, and here is the reason that is given, why the above things have happened. The sins of their prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood. So that no one would touch their garments, they cried out to them, go away, unclean, go away, go away. Do not touch us. When they fled and wandered, those among the nations, they shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests, nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. We'll pause there. That is, I believe it is the first section of all these disaster that has happened to the people of Israel and especially to the city of Jerusalem. We saw, as I read the list of things that has happened, temple is already destroyed. Mothers are deserting their young ones, the children. People dying because of hunger. God's judgment is prolonged more than they even thought it would happen. Places are unrecognized, princes are unrecognized in the streets. Cannibalism prevailing in their midst. And the strongest city on earth has fallen. I don't know if the prophet could have explained the condition that is going on in and around Jerusalem anything worse than this. For you and me to even read through it and grasp what has happened. And do you know the reason? You already saw the words there. The reason for this kind of deep suffering that God allowed, and as well as the judgment that God brought, all because it's caused by the sins of her prophets, the priests, and the people. All three groups of people. Prophets and priests who are supposed to be their backbone in their life to bring them back to God and his obedience. Their sins was beyond what God could have taken. When they were failing, it's interesting to note, where did they turn to? They turned to Egypt, looking for help. They are the same people who, we know the story. They were the same people, the same nation, who were treating the people, God's people, in such a bad condition, from whom they ran away with the leadership of Moses. Now they are suffering to this kind of suffering and judgment of God came. Where did they turn into? Turn to? They turned to Egypt, looking for help. And we read there, that did not happen. Their help was, they did not turn to God who brought them there and has been their backbone of their life all this time. Instead of turning back to God, abandoning their sinful character and behavior, of all these three groups of people, they look to Egypt. Sometimes there are many spiritual applications that we can think of in all these points. Where do we look for help when problems come? Even if it is so severe as this, what we read here, where do we look for help? All of us fail in a way that we turn to help for the wrong places. Israel turned to Egypt. I can't believe what are they thinking? They came back, their fathers and forefathers came back from them, delivered them, came back into liberty and plenteous. Milk and honey was flowing there, says the scripture. But when the problems came, God's judgment came, instead of turning their life back and going back to God, they looked to Egypt. I couldn't believe that part of when I was reading. The enemy that they destroyed over the years of their life, what happened? They've been destroying enemies, winning over the enemies throughout their journey. Even after entering the promised land, they were destroying, having victory over them. But now what happened? Edom took over them. The enemy besieged them suddenly, unexpectedly, as we read in HT verse 18 and 19. The king himself, the anointed of the Lord as a king, was captured into captivity. Now what is left? The king is gone. The priest and the prophets and the people are doing sin before God and not turning their life around. And God's judgment has become so severe They are blindfolded. They are blind now. They are not seeing what's happening in their life. Sadly, this is true in the life of people. Things that happens in their life, the enemy blinds them and will not see and ended up going to the wrong place for help. Brothers and sisters, we have a God who loves us to the extent. And I will touch upon that before I close here in a moment. Now, such a painful, sad story being written, now the prophet is giving us a little bit of a ray of hope. And that we read in verse 21 and 22. Let's look at that. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, who you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass over it to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He who no longer send you into captivity, he will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. Judgment over enemy who has overtaken them and made the destruction of their nation and the city. The prophet says that time is over. God's deliverance is coming. Now, the Lord Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem. You know where it is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. The Lord came to the city of Jerusalem. He said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the ones who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. The condition of the nation has not really changed much through the years up until the Lord's timing." Because the Lord himself says, you are the people who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you children together, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. The spiritual condition of the people has not changed until the Lord's time. That's what the Lord made it clear. The Lord is also, this is what I really want to emphasize from this whole chapter. God's mercy and his long suffering and his love towards his people, even in such a condition, he has not given up. He is still willing to restore them, bring them back. Of course, they came back only a few years ago. Not in the full sense, as the scripture says, and that will happen very soon. But she will be punished severely for her sins. Sin has consequences. Yes, the Lord will forgive, the Lord will cleanse, the Lord will restore. That is what he wants to do. The Lord Jesus himself said in that verse, I love to see that your nation is restored, but you would not allow. Although God is, our Lord is merciful and kind, sin has consequences. It may not be here sometime. It is sometimes in some cases it will happen right here on earth before you move into eternity. If nothing else, you will see the suffering or the may not be the punishment, but the consequences of your life and sin that are unforgiven sins that will suffer loss when we get to heaven. So three things I want to emphasize here. It's simply amazing to note just a few things out of this chapter. One is the hardness of heart of every people who lived through the ancient century and even today. Hardness of the heart of mankind. Even after listening to God's word, week after week, three times a week, or even more, at home, various places, don't we have such an attitude towards the Lord, and our hearts are more hardened sometimes than softening it? It is very easy for us to sit here and blame the people of Israel. At least to some extent, many of us have the same problem. We hear the word, it goes right over them. Or as the old says, enters through one ear and goes out through the other. The hardness of the heart of man is unbelievable. And it is true in our life sometimes. And second thing, God's long suffering to such people. Even after such a disobedience, the Lord himself said, "You are the one who are killing and stoning the prophets of God." But his long suffering, even after such a severe disobedience, he is a long suffering God. I'm sure I can testify this to you this evening, that I am here this evening standing before you because of God's long suffering and forgiving character. God's plan of restoration of Israel does not depend on their behavior. He could have done with that at the time. I am done with these people. I did all that I can from Egypt up to now. They are still rebellion, and their sin only has gone deeper into the mud. I am done with them. God could have said that. Oh, that long suffering of our God. I sat down and thought about it, and I wondered, that's why he is God. That's why he is God. But his plans are not dependent on their obedience or disobedience. God's plan of eternal redemption for the nation of Israel will continue, and it will happen at the right time, when his time is when the time comes. And that work is already in progress, as we know. And they will be fully redeemed and fully recovered and restored. So one thing that we need to learn is, God's plan for you is not dependent on your behavior, although it will have effect of, but in your sin, if it is not confessed or changed, you will lose. Not salvation, you will lose. But his plan for you will continue, and he will fulfill it. You know, here are many New Testament verses that supports that thought. I will not take time for that. But just like the people of Israel, they suffered loss, we will also suffer loss. So some serious instructions and lessons that you and I can learn from this chapter. And I hope it was helpful to you, as it was to me when I was going through this chapter and considering some of these things. Shall we look to the Lord? Our Father, we thank you this evening. We rejoice that you are a good God, a faithful God, a God who never changes his plans according to our behavior, our obedience or disobedience. Oh Lord, we thank you for that. We remember that in the book of Revelation, you have such a deep desire to come back and take his people, more desiring than us. Behold, I come quickly, you said. Lord, we pray that we may have such a deep desire in our hearts that the problems, the enemies, all that are going around, the judgment of God will come according to your plan and purpose. We pray that we may be found faithful to the word that we hear day by day. The prophets and the priests that minister to us day by day through the scriptures, that you may speak to our hearts, that we may not harden our hearts like any other. Forgive our sins and commit us to the throne of grace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.